Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast. You'll be glad you did.
We have a major crisis, and I don't know if you all can help, but we need to talk this through. And when I say we have a major crisis, I really mean producer Jay. Now, be careful of what I ask you, Jay. I'm not asking you why, okay? Let's keep some of the CBS Sports Radio Network secrets in house, okay? So I'm not asking you why. I'm asking you how we deal with the problem of the stench in your control room.
Oh, my goodness.
Pretty soon it's going to bleed through the vents. It's going to leak into my studio, and then I may not be able to continue the radio show as we know it. So what I'm asking is, how do we deal with it? Because the Glade spray that I keep in my locker for emergencies such as this is not working.
No.
How many times have you sprayed it?
So I've done two full sprays.
Okay.
Like full,
okay.
You know,
all right,
whole area of the entire room, the hallway. And the stench just seems to be getting angry at the fact that I'm trying to get rid of it, and it's fighting back even more. So the two times that I've
fighting back,
it seems to be it's become sentient at this point. This smell, so it just seems.
Did
every
you
time
look that word up?
No, that's one of my favorite words.
Okay.
Yeah, but
do you know how to spell it?
Sentient.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
All right, good. Just wanted to be sure. Okay, go ahead.
Anyway. So yeah, I've tried the spray. But the spray just seems to be making the issue worse. So at this point,
it's
I'm just
mixing.
Kind of basking in this collective stench of...
Basking? I would say you're bathing in it.
I don't know what's going on in here. I'm starting to get a little lightheaded.
Well, that's unfortunate because we still have 2 hours to go. I don't have any matches, but if I did, would you light a match?
I might. I'll try anything at this point.
Huh. Where can we find some matches here at CBS Sports Radio?
There's got to be somewhere around on one of the cubbies or something, right?
Again, I'm not asking why, but is it a possibility that whatever is the source of the stench is still in there? Have you checked the trash can? That because it does smell like it's food.
Yeah.
Yes. I don't think it's a person. Maybe it was the person who ate the food, but I don't think it's a person that could generate that kind of smell.
I'm not sure.
I think it's some type of food. Are you sure it's not still in the trash can? Because that would be the first place that I would look. JJ stepped away from the microphone to look.
So there is something in the trash can.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little deep in there. I'm not sure.
I would just take the... Here, I'll even wait. I'll talk. You take the trash can, put it out in... But not our hallway. Put it out in the... Maybe in the hallway by the locker, so there's another door between us and it.
I'm going to bring it to the street, I think.
Well, okay, but not right now. Can you just take the trash can and get it out of there and see if that works?
Let's try.
Yeah, you go... Let's try. I'm going to show the host. You try it. Go ahead. I'll just talk amongst myself. I mean myself and I.
I'm removing
my multiple personalities. I will talk amongst myself. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. We're asking for any quick tips, any foolproof methods for removing a very prominent stench from the control room. Jay's had the door propped open for the last 90 minutes probably, and it's not doing any good. He's used the Glade spray, which it makes it worse actually, because now the Glade is mixing with whatever that ripe food smell is. And so it's not getting any better, and he's stuck in there. He's wallowing in the stench. You've got the Glades. Don't spray any more Glade. It's not removing it. It's just mixing with it, as you say. And are you sure you don't now have Glade spray in your Dr. Pepper can?
I tried my best to cover it with
you
my hand.
You tried your best, but you could be drinking Glade and Dr. Pepper.
I think that'd be better for me than what I'm smelling currently. So breathing
in. I don't know. You could be poisoning yourself. Are you about to spray it again?
Yeah, I'm going
to
spray some more.
All right, keep the mic on so we can hear the extent of the spray. But how are you going to keep the mic on and spray and cover your Dr. Pepper all the same time?
The Dr. Pepper is going to have to suffer.
What about your bag of chips? No, don't. You don't want to eat Glade flavored chips.
I'll curl them up. I'll sprinkle them.
Okay, and then how about get the Dr. Pepper and put it in front of you and just put your hand over it and then spray with the other hand. All right, just, yeah, please. Cover it with something. Because
I got it here.
All right, cover it up. Cover
That's
it.
Covered.
It's okay. All right, so cover with your left hand, and now spray viciously with your right. What? I didn't mean spray it 2 inches from your mouth, you dummy.
Tried to get it on the mic, and
what are you
now
doing?
I'm breathing it.
Why would you spray it right there? I tell Jay to cover his drink with his left hand and spray with his right, but instead of extending his right arm and pointing his arm at the other part of the studio, he sprays it right in front of his face.
I don't move
like
that
on
far.
His body, like he's using it as bug spray for Evan's
sakes. I forgot the odor after the shower. You know, I just got
oh,
it back a little
bit. I can smell it in here. That's how much Glade you use. But you dummy.
I'm good.
I'm an adult, a mature guy.
Mature guy.
I'm a level-headed adult, a mature guy. No, that does not apply to you.
You know, such a level-minded.
Oh, level-minded, excuse me.
Adult,
mature guy. Oh, heavens to Betsy, what... You deserve it. You literally sprayed it right in your path of inhalation. Why would you do that?
You want to know something, though?
You're dying?
I think the bad smell is gone.
Because the Glade sprays up your nose.
I don't know
that's
if I'm
why.
Like, just losing my senses.
Oh,
or...
my God. Because the Glade spray just completely removed your ability to smell. You singed your nose hairs. No, no more spraying.
A little more.
No. Stop it. You're going to keel over right in the middle of the show. Okay, seriously. Now, that's it? Now that your lungs are full of Glade spray, that's it? Oh, my gosh.
I'm
dummy.
Good.
What's worse, inhaling Glade spray or Jay-Z would call me when the mic is off. He can't do it. He can't.
Smell's gone, though, so I'm breathing okay.
No, you're not. You're in there hacking up a lung. Stop lying to the people. So what's worse, inhaling Glade spray, good thing you're not a runner, or smelling that nasty food stench?
The food stench was the worst.
Was it?
That was probably-
Where'd you put it?
In the hallway over there. That's the morning show's problem.
Over there? It's the morning show's problem now?
I don't know. I think it's in there because I did like a little more investigative.
You did a nose test?
A little bit. Not too deep, but you know, enough. And I think.
Well, you could do one now since you've lost your sense of smell after shooting Glade up your nose.
I can do anything now.
Oh my gosh. Does Moose ever have gas?
Oh, all the time.
Okay, well, that's there's your answer. Just shoot Glade up your nose and you won't be able to smell.
That's the solution. Yeah, he's an English bulldog, so he is frequent and often. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that about English bulldogs.
Maybe it's just him. My old English bulldog also had a lot of flatulence. So.
Interesting. So why would you then get a dog that can't breathe very well, doesn't have a long lifespan, isn't active, doesn't like to go for walks, and has much gas?
Yeah, it wasn't the best decision looking back.
Not yours, apparently.
No, it wasn't mine. Although I was on board for another bulldog, I will say. But,
all right.
Yeah.
So the benefit of the best thing about the bulldog is what? Bulldog benefits are what?
I'll let you know.
Jay. Come on now. Poor Moose is 4, isn't he?
He's 6, actually, now.
Whoa,
yeah, he's getting older.
6? I didn't know that.
But he just got this. He went to the vet, and he got this new, I don't know what the hell this vet did to him. He gave him this shot. And
he sprayed Glade up his nose?
He might have. I mean, this dog is spry. He looks like he's like a 3-year-old bulldog now. And he was like starting to get older. Like, oh, man, Moose is getting a little old. He went to the vet, got this shot, and now he's running around.
Anti-inflammatory, maybe?
Maybe. I don't know what was wrong with him, but he fixed him.
When Penny is on her monthly dosage, so we do about 10 to 12 days of anti-inflammatories when she's off her steroids. And when she is, she also has these puppy zoomies. Not for a real long time, but lately, the last couple days, it's been super cute. I take her out. Well, when I wake up before she eats her dinner, first thing, we go out in the backyard so that she can go to the bathroom and I don't have to walk her right away. But the last 2 days, nope, doesn't want to go to the bathroom, just wants to play. My dog is 13 and a half and she wants to play. Isn't that crazy?
That's awesome. Maybe it's the cooler temps that we've had the last few days.
It wasn't cooler yesterday. It was 88 in my house yesterday. So it wasn't cool, but she crouches with her rear end up in the air, and when I'm trying to clap at her, because, you know, she's mostly deaf, so she really can only hear me when I loudly clap. When I clap at her, she crouches down and gets all excited. Her ears are perked up, and then she runs around a little circle. Like, Penny, what has gotten into you?
She's in a good mood. She wants to play.
She is, and I think it's because she's deep into this dosage of anti-inflammatory, so maybe that's what was administered to Moose
it's
Chunk.
It's possible. Because it's like you're saying, it's like a complete 180. Like, he was like, oh, man, we were...
Maybe it was cocaine.
It's possible. I don't know what they're giving to dogs nowadays, but not a vet.
Aw. I'm so glad I didn't realize he was 6 already. Wow.
Yeah.
We've known each other a while. How long do bulldogs generally live?
I think, like, 8 to 10 is an average. Oh, 10 okay. being, like, older for a bulldog, yeah.
Aw. How long did your last one live?
I think he was 8. Yeah.
Huh. Well, it's always hard to let them go. People ask me, because I actually have some friends who, once having gone through the pain of losing a pet, will never get another one because they say they can't go through that again. So people ask me, is it worth it? Absolutely, it's worth it. The joy and, well, the joy, the companionship, the conversation, the laughs that Penny has given me. Yes, I do talk to my dog for 11 plus years. It's now 11 and a half years that I've had her. She's been running my life for 11 and a half years. She drives me batty for 11 and a half years, but I wouldn't trade it, even though it will be extremely painful to lose her. But she's lasted and is still thriving a lot longer than you would generally expect for a big dog. She's 70 pounds, and she's 13 and a half years old.
I can't believe that she's 13 and a half.
I know. It's amazing.
Yeah.
And pretty soon, the dog is going to have to do another road trip. Oh, I told her she would never have to do a long one. But there's, before the end of the year, a South Carolina road trip on the horizon. So, poor dog. Oh, well. She does love the beach, so at least she'll get that.
She will get that. But you did tell her there was no more. I remember that.
Yeah, right. I lied to her. Maybe she couldn't hear me because she's mostly deaf.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. She doesn't protest. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Jimmy!
Jay would actually like to start an entire network of nothing but dog shows. Dog radio shows. Oh, you don't want to give our idea away?
No.
Got it. Okay, so let's quickly change the subject and talk about not dogs, but Astros. Oh, Astro was a dog. That was the Jetsons, right?
Right.
Talk about that segue. The Jetsons dog Astro to the actual Houston Astros, who once again are able to get by the Baltimore Orioles late in their contest.
Bases full of Astros. The 2-1. And that's poked into right field, down for a base hit. Pena scores. Around third, Dubon, he will score. Maldonado chugging for third. He's in ahead of the throw. Altuve drives in two with a single, and the Astros lead is 5-2.
2-1.
Lined in the center, that's down for a base hit. Maldonado can walk home. Altuve around third, he scores easily. Bregman drives in two with his third hit of the game, and the Astros lead it 7-2.
When the dust settled on the Astros' eighth inning, 4 runs on 2 hits and 3 consecutive walks. Not what you're looking for with your bullpen. That's Robert Ford on Astros radio. Now, Dusty Baker and Brandon Hyde, they talk post-game, And it's a tale of two bullpens, right? So Dusty Baker, he loves what he's seeing from the bullpen. If you remember in the first game between these two, or the Tuesday game between these two, the Orioles had a 5-0 lead. And it was the Kyle Tucker grand slam that eventually was the game winner on the top of the ninth for Houston. Now it's the eighth inning rally with the four runs. And so they're able to get to the Baltimore bullpen even as theirs is slamming the door.
This is how we built our team. And this is our success in the last few years. That's the success of all teams that are winning is their bullpen. You know, if you don't have a bullpen, like Yogi Berra said, you don't have nothing.
I like it. As for Brandon Hyde, his bullpen gave up 10 runs in two games this series, and he's having to ride them pretty hard.
Well, unfortunately, I had to, you know, extend Mike Bauman there, and that's really not his fault, honestly. Just there was nobody else to pitch in that kind of situation. So, you know, he gave up a few thereafter, but I thought he made a good pitch to Altuve, just gets to the end of the bat on one, and score could have been 3-2 there at the end of the eighth inning, and we're right there, but... Mike's been doing a great job for us all year. He's been an absolute workhorse for us. Takes the ball, doesn't complain, and you know, I thought he just really, really competed. He pitched last night, and then he got extended tonight.
Yeah, so this is what happens when you get deep into the season, right? You've got pitchers maybe that are injured, aren't going as deep, or you've got bullpen making spot starts. Then you've got guys who are having to stretch out or pitch more than what they – well, what would be optimal maybe on back-to-back days, or you're asking them to pitch multiple innings in the case of Brandon Hyde and the Orioles, he's asking guys now to stretch out and to stay in there longer than you normally would. And so it's kind of a piggyback on itself. But what happens is pitchers already are a little more tired, or the heat gets to them. And we'll talk about that with Shohei Ohtani coming up. Of course, he does more than most. Jack Flaherty allows 3 runs on 6 hits, but only goes 5 innings. And that's part of the issue, is that starters only go 5. These days, 6 is the standard, sadly. But if they only go 5, then you're asking your bullpen for 4 to try to get through. So you've got the Astros with yet another win, and right now playing some good baseball. They've won 3 in a row, 7 of their last 10. It's the Rangers that have been hot to trot, but they lose. So they see their, what was an 8-game win streak? They see their 8-game win streak come to an end. So the Rangers, they lose. Astros are able to pick up a full game now within 2. So we'll get to then the Mariners and the Angels. So Mariners, they've got the longest win streak in baseball right now. And the Angels are trying to fight, scratch, claw, do everything they can to remain relevant with Ohtani on the mound on Wednesday. Keep having to remind myself. After my mom said to me, it's almost your weekend. And then I keep, for some reason, thinking it's Tuesday night. I'm not sure why. It's the running in the heat, that in the humidity, and that smell in there that's completely played with my brain.
It's throwing us all off.
It's throwing us all off, but I'm not the one who actually snorted Glade spray, so.
I'm still feeling it.
But, duh, you sprayed it right up your nose. Of course you did. Whatever possessed you to do that?
It's like in my soul, to be honest, right now.
Do you have one?
I didn't know, but now I do. I know for sure because I feel
nice.
It in there.
It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Here comes the pitch. And this is lifted high, and it's hit deep down the right side, and this one is out of here! Mike Moustakas! Big 3-run shot. Angels have a 4-1 lead!
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
The Angels definitely needed that big blow from Moustakas. And with Shohei Ohtani on base as Moustakas smashes his 11th home run for the Angels with Terry Smith on their radio network, it's the support that Ohtani needs because he was also pitching. Gives up just 1 run on 3 hits and 3 walks. Does last through 6 innings to get his 10th win. And his ERA is 3.17. I mean, this is quality stuff from Ohtani, and yet he was disappointed because he didn't feel like himself out there on the mound against the Giants.
Yeah, just throughout the whole game, I was pretty frustrated the way that I was pitching. I didn't really feel right throughout the whole game.
That's 16 straight days, 16 straight games in 16 days, and he's tired. I mean, he told me kind of going out for the sixth. You know, I knew that he was a little, the gas was running low, reached back and had a nice inning. We went out and met with him. You know, I thought he twisted an ankle or tweaked something, but he was fine physically. But the man's just tired. I mean, day off tomorrow, couldn't come at a better time.
He picks up his 10th win. His ERA is barely over 3. 16 games in 16 days because he never takes a game off from DHing at the very least. I would be tired too. It's the heat of the summertime, right? So that also gets to you. It's really impressive, his determination and the fact that he's still doing both, hitting and pitching, with command and with skill and with authority. They need him. He's their best player, so they need him if they're going to hang in there with the wild card, try to make up some ground after what was a 7-game losing skid. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. The Angels actually take 2 of 3 from the Giants, and for Brandon Crawford, that's frustrating.
Not ideal. We had just lost 2 of the A's also, so, you know, just a tough road trip overall. Obviously not what we wanted to do.
Even worse, it's bad to lose 2 to the Angels, but worse to lose 2 to the Oakland A's, who are 35 games back in the AL West. I didn't even know that was possible. 35 games back of the Rangers in that division.
That's got to be close to a record for most games out.
Oy, that's crazy. The Rockies, they're pretty bad too, but they're only 22.5 games back of the Dodgers. The Nationals, they're 23.5 games back of the Braves. So there's some major disparities there, but we've known since the beginning that the A's management isn't trying to win. All right, so Angels are back to 500 after taking 2 from the San Francisco Giants. Right now, they are 7 out in the wild card. So even with these back-to-back wins, they're 7 out of the 3rd wild card spot, which is currently owned by the Blue Jays after their 1-0 win over the Guardians. Yeah, crazy enough, back-to-back 1-0 games between Cleveland and Toronto. Right, so the Mariners right now are the hottest team in Major League Baseball. A lot of excitement as they continue to surge.
And the 3-2 pitch, swing and a fly ball deep to right field. Way back, going and going, and goodbye baseball off the windows of the Hit It Here Cafe. Cal Raleigh, the big dumper, with a 2-run blast here in the bottom of the 8th inning. His 19th home run of the year, way out to right. We talked about his penchant for big home runs in big situations, and he gives the Mariners a 3-1 lead here in the bottom of the 8th inning. Holy smokes, what a shot by Cal Raleigh.
Did you hear the fans behind Rick Riz there on Mariners radio? And it was just the beginning, actually. They put a 5 spot on the board at home against the Padres in the 8th inning. They win it going away. And I kind of feel responsible, Jay, because we did an interview about the Padres. Was it Sunday night? It was. It was after Sunday night baseball. They'd lost to the Dodgers. Then they get hammered on Monday against the Dodgers. And they've fallen 5 games below 500 now. Are we a sham? Are we a jinx? I don't even believe in jinxes.
I thought about it, and I tried to convince myself that it wasn't our fault because they were surging. I don't know. They were starting to play good baseball, and literally since they've been terrible. I don't think it's our fault. I'm going to say
no. You don't think it's our fault?
I'm going to say no.
What do we have to do with it? I just interviewed the guest that you put on the show.
It seemed like a good idea.
Definitely not my fault. I just do what I'm told. I just work here. After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. You can find us on Twitter, A-Law Radio. All of our guests, by the way, all of our interviews are podcasted separately if you, too, would like to go back and make fun of us. Man, that division is rough. Okay, so we know what the Rockies are. They're not anything worthy of speaking of on a regular basis, though. They were at least part of a fun game on Wednesday because the Milwaukee Brewers walked off against them. Oh, my gosh. Actually, while we're talking about it, this is crazy. Did you guys see the end of the Brewers-Rockies game Wednesday evening?
Lawrence, the pitch.
Wednesday afternoon.
Chopper, left side. Big hop for the shortstop, Tovar. Throw to first is low, and it gets past Tolia. The Brewers win it. Tolia couldn't dig it out. And the Brewers walk it off in the bottom of the 10th, 7-6, your final.
No, seriously, and a walk-off on an error. I know Craig Counsell tries to take this all in stride, but sometimes the Rockies, they got to make you want to stick a fork in your eye.
The game has twists and turns and ups and downs and good fortune and bad fortune, and you know, you try to make every play you can control good. And that's that gives you your best chance to win. You know, we caught a break. There's no question about it. I mean, the game still goes on. But we caught a break there to get the last run across.
Yeah. So I like that he's not rubbing it in, right? He's not rubbing it in to Bud Black or to the Rockies, but that one's got to add insult to injury. Okay, enough about the Rockies. I'm going to break out in hives. So the Rockies are the bottom of the NL West. The Padres, as we just talked about, have dropped four in a row, and Jay's pretty sure it's his fault. The Diamondbacks can't buy a win to save their lives. Remember when they were on top of the NL West? Right now, they are really scuffling. And while we're talking about adding insult to injury, it's coming against the leaders in their division.
Two ball, one strike pitch from Nelson. Swung on, base hit right field. Freeman's going to score. They're going to send Smith. Here comes the throw to the plate from Carroll. Smith slides. He takes a two-out, two-run single for David Peralta. And the Dodgers lead it 2-0.
Tim Neverett there with the call on the Dodgers radio network. And before that, it was the Milwaukee – well, it was Bob Uecker on – it wasn't Bob Uecker? Who was it? I thought it was Bob. Are you sure? Okay, I could be wrong. It sounded like him, but I guess I was wrong. Anyway, it was Brewers radio, correct? Yes. Okay. This is Dodgers radio now. We're moving on, but I didn't want to ignore the other highlight that we played. So David Peralta hits the go-ahead two-run single in the eighth for the Dodgers. And actually, there was consideration about pulling him. He was lefty on lefty there. And he was so grateful after the game that his manager, Dave Roberts, allowed him that opportunity at the plate.
It means a lot. That's why I was in the home play. Before I went to the home play, I looked at the hand, and he just gave me that comfort. Let's go. You got this. And that's all you need, you know. And I was like, okay, don't try to do too much and do your job. And I came through in that situation.
He was 0-for-3 before that, and then the lefty-on-lefty situation, but he comes through with the big hit. So the Dodgers beat the Diamondbacks, and stop me if you've heard this before. The Dodgers are putting it all together right when they need to. If Freddie Freeman is not the MVP, do you think he and Mookie Betts at the top of that lineup are so formidable? There could be certainly a Brave that ends up winning MVP. I wouldn't be surprised.
Acuna, maybe.
Right. And thankfully, he's not hurt. What do you have, four hits on Wednesday, I think?
Yeah, he's fine.
After leaving the game early, right? His x-rays were negative on Tuesday. But Dodgers, Braves, clearly the best of the National League and really among the best in Major League Baseball. And you kind of wonder if it's going to come down to a Dodger or a Brave again. But Freddie Freeman, that moved, he was good with the Braves too. I'm not saying he wasn't. Obviously, he was an MVP. But that move to the Dodgers, it's been mint for them. It has been mint.
Yeah, he seems really relaxed. He's out there in the West Coast probably with his family again. He's seen them more often. He just seems like he's really relaxed at the moment.
Well, it's helpful when Mookie Betts is hitting ahead of you.
Yeah, that helps too.
The two of them are awesome at the top.
That is awesome to hear.
So now the Dodgers have won four straight, eight of their last 10. And I don't know how this happened, but they're now six up in the NL West. It's not quite Braves material in the NL East, but it's pretty darn close. I mean, they're just stretching it out. This was a team that theoretically was left behind in the offseason because they lost Trey Turner. Maybe got out while the getting was good. I don't know. Maybe Turner would be faring differently if he was still with the Dodgers, right? Maybe. There's no way to know that, but
I'm just reading right now that Clayton Kershaw expected to make his return Thursday night.
Boom. Forget preseason football. Clayton Kershaw back on the mound. Yeah, and did you see that Walker Buehler actually faced live hitters for the first time in his recovery, his rehab too. So the Dodgers are coming together. They've lost every single one of their starting pitchers this year. All five of their opening day starters have hit the IL at some point, but they're starting to put it all together. It's really impressive. I think Dave Roberts deserves a ton of credit. Anyway, the rest of the NL West is going the wrong way, and the Dodgers are taking advantage. So, yeah, a lot happening on the baseball diamond. Braves, Dodgers, Rangers, even though they lost on Wednesday. The Astros, the Orioles, the Rays, the rich getting richer right now, really setting themselves up for the stretch run and ultimately October. No-hitter in baseball on Wednesday evening as well. 31-year-old Michael Lorenzen throws a career-high 124 pitches in his second start with the Phillies. Maybe not a better move has been made. All right. From this point forward, we're going to pivot a little bit the rest of this hour. Okay, I'm laughing because I already know. You'll know soon. But there was a brawl. Well, it was a couple of them between the Packers and the Bengals in joint practices on Wednesday. And what DJ Reader had to say about the brawl was hysterical. You'll love it. It'll make you giggle on what is now a Thursday morning. And as we get set for the preseason, I think that you should expect to see more starters than typical on this first week of the preseason because you've got a lot of new quarterbacks, a lot of new faces, and a lot of new places. So at least that should keep you interested for a little bit. Also, Northwestern football. Northwestern under a lot of fire under a lot of scrutiny for the hazing allegations. Of course, Pat Fitzgerald was fired. And you may have heard about the T-shirts that they were wearing around the facilities over the last couple of days. It's been shot down. And in the middle of all of this, right, it seems like the student athletes get lost in conference realignment and now maybe getting lost in the fact that they're trying to pivot to a new coach and lots of questions swirling around them, lots of distractions. They're trying to focus on the upcoming football season. It's just a lot if you are a young man, maybe in your early 20s, maybe teenagers. So we hear from a couple of them coming up. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast. We welcome all kinds here on After Hours.
Tom is listening. Actually, Tom's not listening. He's talking.
Problems in the locker room. Talk about it. Hello? Hello?
Go ahead.
Oh, no, because I was practicing what I was going to say. Okay. Nine.
Time out. Do you have it written down or are you practicing in the mirror?
No. I was just practicing what I was planning on saying.
Tom, before I let you go, do you feel like the practice helped?
Oh, of course. Yeah, practice makes the that much more successful. And thanks for having me on the air.
No, thank you, Tom. I appreciate that. I've never had someone get caught practicing before.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
What is this about? Jay. Is this because of the brawls? Nice. All right. I don't think it would have been movie worthy, but I could be wrong. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. You know that combined practices, joint practices, as they call them, generally do result in all types of extracurricular activity. I don't want to classify them all as brawls because that's not the case, but sometimes they flat out brawl. That is true.
Punch.
Oh, no. Down goes Anderson. Down goes Anderson.
It's a dark day.
I mean, we've seen in the past that coaches have canceled the rest of their joint practices because the two teams can't stop scrapping. I don't know if that's going to be the case with the Bengals and the Packers, but it definitely did draw the ire of at least Green Bay head coach Matt LaFleur. Whoops, I knew I was going to do that at some point. Matt LaFleur, because he sent Elgin Jenkins off the field after he went at it with a couple of Bengals. So you've got the joint practice fights, but then you got the ones that they just can't control, and that was the case on Wednesday. David Bakhtiari, so what exactly happened between Jenkins and the Cincinnati Bengals?
I think you gave him like the wrong pie recipe or something like that, and he's pissed off. So. What about the second one? I didn't watch the second one, all of it, but I got nothing else to say on that one.
Got nothing else to say. Did he say pie recipe? He gave him the wrong pie recipe?
I think you gave him like the wrong pie recipe or something like that.
Yeah, don't be messing with pie recipes. That's where it crosses the line, okay? So Elgin Jenkins is involved in both of the altercations between the Pack and the Bengals, and he gets the boot. Out of practice, you're gone, you're done. So my favorite, though, this might be my favorite bite of the entire night, with my apologies to Mike McDaniel, who Jay absolutely loves because he's level-minded, he's an adult, and he's a mature guy.
Mature guy.
Right, exactly. That's Jay wants to be just like Mike McDaniel. My favorite is DJ Reader, who's asked about the brawl from the Bengals' perspective.
Typical football stuff. Guys and their feelings about whatever. Who knows? I have no idea. Like, you know, he might have had a bad day today. Somebody hit him with some bad news or something. Seemed positive early in practice, and then it turned real negative for him, and he wanted to get kicked out. He just didn't want to practice. He'll be out there Friday. I'll see him.
Guys all up in their feelings about something. I don't know. Whatever.
No, he might have had a bad day today. Somebody hit him with some bad news or something.
That's fantastic. Please keep that. We could use that in so many other instances. He just had a bad day. He didn't want to practice anymore. He just wanted to get himself kicked out.
He'll be out there Friday. I'll see him.
Whatever.
And they're going to fight again?
It's after. I don't know. And if it's Jenkins, he'd get tossed out again. If he happens to be the common denominator, well, then he might just get himself kicked out again. I guess that's a surefire way to end practice early.
Seemed positive early in practice, and then it turned real negative for him, and he wanted to get kicked out. He just didn't want to practice.
That's not a bad strategy.
I was right.
Felt like going home.
I would think every now and then, just kind of need the afternoon off. That might be a good way to do it.
Just wasn't feeling it yesterday.
It's not like you're going to get cut for, not if you're a starter. It's not like you're going to get cut if you're brawling because, you know, manly men and all, they're allowed to. Their temper's running hot. Temper's flare. DJ Reader's like, whatever. He's all up in his feelings about whatever.
Typical football stuff. Guys and their feelings about whatever.
That's so true. That is so true. Guys do get in their feelings about whatever. It's not just in football. Right, Jay?
It's not true.
It's not accurate. It's not just women who get up in their feelings about whatever. Nope, that would be a stereotype.
Down goes Anderson! Down goes Anderson!
It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio. The latest on conference realignment, by the way, I mentioned this earlier. It doesn't appear, at least at this moment, that the ACC will invite Cal and Stanford to be part of its conference membership. This is the Pete Thamel phrase. He's a National College Football Reporter. Hit significant roadblocks. The pursuit, hot pursuit. For those of you who love Dukes of Hazzard, Jay, do you ever watch Dukes of Hazzard? It was one of my favorite shows when I was a kid.
I've seen the newer movie.
Like, I was in love with John Schneider. Now, no, that's not. No. Negative Ghost Rider. That's not
seen,
Dukes.
Yeah.
That's Jessica Simpson.
Right.
Stop it.
Yeah.
That's not Catherine Bach. I wanted to be Catherine Bach. I used to walk around my yard with short shorts and high heels as like a fourth grader. Because, you know, I almost died a couple times, like falling flat on my face.
Practicing.
Yeah, I was practicing. I've never in my life worn short shorts and heels as an adult, but okay. Anyway, the original Dukes of Hazzard classic, loved it. And Roscoe Pico Train. He would be in hot pursuit. Anyway, that's not probably appropriate here. I'll be much more sober-minded moving forward, level-minded, as Mike McDaniel says. Apparently, according to Pete Thamel, the process of bringing Cal and Stanford on board has hit significant roadblocks. So there was no vote taken. We know that. We told you that with the ACC president's meeting. Some of the concerns are about the travel, right? I mean, that's obvious. There's no way you can ignore what a disadvantage it would mean for the athletes. And it may not be football players because they only play once a week. But what about the other sports where they are, maybe they're playing multiple places, multiple conference games in the span of a week. They go from one location to another. You're talking about flying commercially, not chartering. Most sports fly commercially. I know that when I flew with the Hartford women's basketball team, we didn't charter except when we went to the NCAA tournament. We flew commercial. So you're dealing with delays in airports. You're dealing with the same kind of stuff that average American travelers do, and it takes a lot of time. And there's a lot of headache with it, a lot of stress to travel with that size of a party. So yeah, there's headaches around, or headaches that you wouldn't be able to get around, actually, if you invite two teams from the West Coast. I don't know if it makes sense. Really, any of this conference realignment makes sense. But the ACC doesn't want to be left behind, seeing what the Big Ten and the Big 12 are doing, knowing that the SEC is adding Oklahoma and Texas next year, so also expanding. The whole thing is so ludicrous, and I kind of feel for the Pac-12. I know ultimately it's their leadership that kind of put them in this position, but I'm hoping that there's some other solution moving forward that maybe spares the Pac-12. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
The official Winning Time podcast from HBO is back. I'm Rodney Barnes, executive producer on the show.
Magic and the Lakers are back to defend their title.
Join me as I break down each new episode with sports writer Jeff Perlman and the actors, directors, and key collaborators who brought the 1980s Showtime Lakers to life.
It's not about basketball. It's about winning.
Listen to HBO's official Winning Time podcast on Sundays after the show airs on Max.